Hey folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you gotta do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family. Hello, America, and welcome to the Friday edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. Yes, we made it through another week, and we end the week, at least if you're vaccinated, not having to wear masks anymore. We've been unmasked in a good sense, not in the sense that I used to use it when I covered the National Security Agency. Masks are not necessary any longer for those of us who are double vaccinated. Life is getting back to normal. People will have a long debate about whether it should have got back to normal a long time ago, whether the timing of this announcement is due to something other than science and medicine. We can debate that. We're going to report on it a lot here at Just the News. But the truth of the matter is we're heading into the first weekend in over a year where we can kind of live normally and have masks off wherever we want to be. Some of you may have gotten ahead of that, and that's fine too. Everybody makes their own personal decision. But on this Friday, it is a worth celebrating and noting that we are a little more liberated. We're getting some of those personal freedoms that have been stripped from us. We see more churches opening, more states being told they couldn't infringe on religious liberty. We see 13 states, all of them Republican run, that have said to the United States government, we no longer want your COVID-19 unemployment $300 check, the Biden check. Why? Because it's actually suppressing employment. People are not going out and looking because you're paying them to stay home. Great story today by my colleague Alex Nitzberg on the site. Go check that out. Now, we've got a fun show, and I want to get to it because we've got two guests. Not one guest. It's Friday. We got to go a little different. So we got two guests. First up, Josh Mandel. He is a Marine who fought in the Iraq War. He is the former treasurer of the great state of Ohio, and he is one of the Republicans running for the open Ohio Senate seat, the Rob Portman seat. It's going to be one of the big elections next year in 2022. I like to introduce new candidates from all the parties whenever they're available, get you to know them, learn about where they stand on issues, have a conversation like we would if we were sitting down at dinner. And so Josh Mandel's here, and then when we finish up with that, we're going to tell you the story. Actually, she's going to tell you the story of a nurse in New Jersey who had the gumption to question the science, the school district's idea that school children had to be masked at all times in the New Jersey school system. Erin Pine, a nurse who raised that question in a video, was suspended and now on the process of being fired from her job by raising a question about masks. This just happened last week. Ironically, today, what did the CDC say? Vaccinated adults, you can throw your mask off, you're done. Well, we're going to tell you the story of Erin. You can decide for yourself whether she made good decisions or bad decisions. There's the question of her wearing the mask herself. She went to school not wearing it one day. That violated school policy. You can make a decision whether that was a good move or not. But her argument of the impact of the constant chronic wearing of masks by school children at school, the developmental issues, the anxiety issues, the learning issues that she saw as a nurse treating these students. It says some very powerful stories, something I haven't heard talked about much in the last 6 months, of students coming and throwing up in classroom because they just couldn't take the anxiety of a mask, that the mask caused, that they couldn't read their teachers' facial expressions, and we'd get concerned that the teacher was mad at them or unhappy with them because they just simply couldn't see the expression that one gets from their teacher's face. Lord knows I had to read a lot of those expressions when I was a kid in Catholic grammar school. But we're going to bring Aaron Pine here. I think you're going to enjoy both of these interviews. Josh Mandel, Aaron Pine, coming up right after this commercial break. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And as promised, a very special guest. This is one of my favorite things to do each week. Introduce our audience to somebody running for Congress or governor or Senate. And today we have with us Josh Mandel from the great state of Ohio, who is running for the open Senate seat in Ohio. Josh, great to have you aboard.
Hey, John, great to be on.
You are have a remarkable background, and I always like to start as someone's running for office just to introduce your personal story, Marine, politics. You have so many really rich parts to the texture of your life. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what inspired you to get into politics.
Sure. My grandparents inspired me both into public service and also in the Marine Corps. My grandfather, Joe, was a Holocaust survivor, survived Auschwitz and multiple other camps. He lost his entire family there. Mm. And he was liberated by Allied troops. My grandmother, Fernanda, she was an Italian Jew, which was relatively uncommon.
There right.
About 50,000 of them in Italy during World War II. And there was this network of courageous Christian families that got together to save kids in their community. And so my grandmother was hidden and saved by an incredibly courageous Christian family. And if you think, John, about the level of courage it takes to risk your own life and the lives of your own children to save a complete stranger, you know, I believe that that level of courage only comes from one place, and it's one's faith and belief in God. And at that same time, while my grandfather Joe was in the camps and my grandma Fernanda was being hidden by these incredibly courageous Christian families, my grandfather Harold from Cleveland, Ohio, was wearing the uniform of our great country, of the United States Army Air Corps. And so when I was growing up here in the Cleveland area, it was hammered into me that in this life, I owe two debts. I have to pay back in this life. One was to this network of incredibly courageous Christian families who made it possible for me to be here today, made it possible for my kids, Gideon, Judah, and Rosie, to be here today. And the second debt was to the United States of America and the United States military, brave men who paid the ultimate sacrifice in places like Normandy and Omaha Beach and Iwo Jima, and ultimately liberated Europe. And so my whole life has been lived off of paying back those debts to this network of courageous Christians and to the U.S. military. And it's why I joined the Marine Corps. It's why I've served in public service here. It's why I'm running for the United States Senate. And it's why I've been such a warrior and pointy tip of the spear leader for religious liberty and religious freedom and the Judeo-Christian values on which America was founded and grew strong.
Yeah, it's just amazing. And you've already had a rich career in public service. So you've served 8 years as the state treasurer of Ohio, right? So you served a statewide office. You also were a state representative before that, correct?
Correct. So I was the guy in Ohio who was taking on Kasich. So while my buddy Jim Jordan was in Washington taking on Boehner and McCarthy and all these other guys, I was in Ohio taking on the radical left, but also taking on Kasich. I figured out early on while I was state treasurer and Kasich was governor that he was just a squishy establishment Republican and really more like a Democrat. And I led the charge, you know, against him on the when he was trying to do the Obamacare Medicaid expansion.
Sure.
When he was trying to raise taxes on small businesses. I defied him when he was trying to keep the finances of the state in the shadows. I took the state's checkbook and put it online. I created the largest.
What a novel idea. Transparency for the American taxpayer, right?
You got it, man. It was the whole premise was the taxpayers have a right to know how the tax money's being spent, and by shining sunlight on spending, I was just going to transfer the power from the politicians to the people.
What an amazing idea. You know, it's so funny on this issue of protecting the taxpayer's dollar. When I first came in as a reporter, there was this liberal Democrat, in fact, from Wisconsin by the name of Bill Proxmeyer, and he created an award called the Golden Fleece, and every week he would shame some federal agency for wasting Americans' dollars, and it would get attention everywhere. You know, ABC News would cover it. I was on the networks. 35, 40 years later, you can have a story like what broke yesterday where the Secret Service recovers $2 billion of fraudulent PPP money, and no one even covers it. It falls like a tree in the forest. You really have taken the taxpayers' money seriously, and you really believe in protecting it, don't you? I mean, you're a rare politician in today's world because so many have just gotten used to the wasteful spending and given up. But this is very close to your heart, isn't it?
It is. And listen, one of the reasons why I think we need younger people in the conservative movement is because we need folks in there who understand the intersection of government and technology and business and technology. And so because of my understanding of technology, I was able to create this website, OhioCheckbook.com, and use it as a transparency tool to hold politicians' feet to the fire. But in Washington, you know, my knowledge on technology is really going to enable me to take on these big tech thugs out of Silicon Valley who are censoring and silencing us as conservatives.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, you've been always outspoken. I think a lot everyone who knows and reveres you and respects you, you know, you speak your mind, you mean what you say, and you say what you mean. And so you would occasionally confront Governor Kasich during the time when he was governor. This week, you took on Governor DeWine and over the $1 million lottery prize. I think you called it the Willy Wonka prize to give five $1 million taxpayer-funded gifts to people who went out and got a vaccine. What got your attention with that stunt that the governor played?
Well, John, it was just that. It was a stunt. It was a wasteful gimmick. And for your listeners that haven't followed this in Ohio, our governor announced that he was going to take $5 million of our tax money and split it up into five $1 million sweepstakes prizes.
Wow.
Anyone who had a vaccine can put their name in the hat, and every Wednesday he's going to pick a name out of a hat and give them $1 million of our tax money just because they had a vaccine. I mean, it's outrageous on so many levels. First of all, it's completely wasteful. It's a perfect example of why bailouts are a horrible idea. You know, when the federal government bails out states, the states look at the money as free money instead of looking at it as taxpayer money, and they do ridiculous, wasteful things like this. And yeah, I called DeWine Willy Wonka because that's what it's like. It's like he's like, you know, who's got the golden ticket? You got the. I mean, the whole thing is it's outrageous in so many levels. But listen, John, I've been taking on DeWine for a long time.
You have.
He's a Republican.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, here's my deal. I believe in liberty. I believe that liberty and our freedom is worth fighting for. And I don't care if it's a Democrat or a Republican trampling on our liberty. I'm going to be their worst nightmare. And that's what DeWine did with these shutdowns. You know, he used his bad math. You know, they predicated the shutdowns based on an assumption of 62,000 cases per day. It ended up being 476. So DeWine was not even in the universe of accurate. And then he proceeds to shut down family-owned restaurants, mom-and-pop barbershops, beauty shops, clothing stores. But guess who he lets stay open? Walmart,
yeah,
Target,
the big boys.
Costco, all these woke corporations. And it was just and he screwed the little guy, screwed the mom-and-pops, and he empowered these big woke corporations. And it was horrible on so many levels. And so – yeah, I've been taking him on. I've been pretty pointy tip of the spear on taking him on. And people are like, Josh, you know, he's a Republican, you should be nice. And my feeling, John, is like, I'm not in politics to make friends. I'm in politics to stand up for the Constitution, to stand up for our liberty as Americans, and to advance the Trump America First agenda. And I don't care who's in my way. I'm going to fight them and run right through them.
Yeah, that you have shown that throughout your career. And sometimes it ruffles feathers, but that also reminds the voters that there's an authenticity, that your values are what drives your decision making, your words, your actions, as opposed to the party stripe that's on your shoulder at the time that you're running. And I think that that's a quality that a lot of people are looking for in politicians today: authenticity, not party allegiance only. And I think it's interesting, as I've watched your career evolve, and to see that becomes a real connection. I think you mentioned Jim Jordan. He's another guy that, you know, often would buck his party only because his principles as a conservative, as a Republican, matched his actions and his words. And I think people are craving that. They hear too many politicians that say one thing and do another, the Gavin Newsom effect. And I think folks are really pleased when they find someone that doesn't do things because the party talking points set them to do it. They do it because of their belief system. And I look forward to watching how this race unfolds. Now, faith is very important to you. You mentioned it in as you were introducing yourself. You've been very concerned about sort of the secular attack on faith, on the curriculum that are going into various schools. Tell us what you see and what you would do if you got in the U.S. Senate to address and push back about those concerns.
Faith is at the centerpiece of my life. It's at the centerpiece of our campaign as well. Instead of running our campaign through traditional Republican Party groups, we're actually running our campaign through churches. And we have pastors throughout the state of Ohio who've been hosting me at their churches, and we're having old-fashioned town hall meetings at churches.
Wow.
And that's the backbone of our campaign. I got to tell you, John, it's been so inspiring. We had a week or two ago, we were at Washington Heights Baptist Church in Dayton, Ohio. Over 300 patriots there. We were down at a church called Solid Rock Church in Lebanon, Ohio, between Dayton and Cincinnati.
Sure.
We had 500 patriots there. And it's just unbelievable, the outpouring of support. And I think the voters here, they see that I'm willing to be bold and out front about protecting the Judeo-Christian values on which America was founded and grew strong, not radical Muslim values, not atheism, but Judeo-Christian values. And the center of those Judeo-Christian values is the recognition of good versus evil and our obligation to stand up for good and fight evil. And that's what I'll do as a United States senator. And, you know, you watch a lot of these senators in both parties, they wring their hands and they put their finger in the wind, you know, when it comes time to make tough decisions. But for me, like, those tough decisions will be easy decisions because I'll make decisions as a senator with two documents in hand, the Bible in one hand and the Constitution in the other.
That's a novel idea, isn't it? The two greatest collections of values ever assembled in the world. What a remarkable thing. You had service, obviously, in the military during the Iraq War. You have been very outspoken, not only about what's going on in Israel, which I think so many Americans are concerned about, the rocket attacks, the street warfare and anarchy we've seen in the last few weeks, but you've also been very outspoken in taking on the Squad and other members of Congress who seem to be embracing Hamas and its tactics and its ideology. Tell us a little bit about what concerns you with some of the progressive left in Congress who are not only shunning Israel, but more importantly, embracing implicitly or directly Hamas and other terrorist organizations.
Yeah, I mean, the quote-unquote squad, I started calling them the Jihad Squad because they're embracing a terrorist organization. You know, Hamas is a terrorist organization. That's how the United States views them. That's how so many countries around the world view them. Plain and simple, they're a terrorist group. And if you just read their charter, like, don't take my word for it. If you just read the Hamas charter, they talk about, you know, murdering and killing and that is what they do. They think that they were sent to earth to kill Christians and Jews. And you know what? They follow through on it. They go out there and they kill Christians and Jews. And so we need to defend ourselves, whether it's terrorism here in the United States or it's in places abroad. It's important to support our allies' right to defend themselves. And today that important ally is Israel. And Israel has every right, just as any other sovereign nation would, to defend itself and its citizens against terrorist attacks. And, you know, Hamas is terrorizing women and children. They're murdering innocent civilians. And it's not just Jews. They're trying to murder Christians and others.
That's right.
And we as Americans, you know, I believe should support the U.S.-Israel relationship. And we should be champions for Israel's right to defend herself. And when you look at Ilhan Omar out of Minnesota, or Rashida Tlaib out of Michigan,
right?
Or Cori Bush out of Missouri, AOC out of New York, Jamal Brown out of New York. These guys are anti-Semites. They're bigots. And in my mind, like, they don't just hate Israel. I think they hate America. I think they all subscribe to the Saul Alinsky playbook, and they're trying to bring down America from within. And it's in my mind, disgraceful that the Democrat Party puts people like Ilhan Omar on the Foreign Relations Committee, let alone in a leadership position there. And listen, here's the problem with the partisan politics in Washington. When the Republicans are in power, they give in to the Democrats. They act like total squishes. When the Democrats are in power, they exercise it. And that's what's going on. Pelosi out of San Francisco, Schumer out of New York, the Squad, Biden, Harris, whoever's running the country. Like, they exercise power. And, you know, right now in Washington, like, we don't need civility or bipartisanship coming out of the Republican Party. We need fighters. And I'm going to Washington to be a fighter. I'm going there to take on the Squad, to take on Schumer, to take on Pelosi, to take on Biden, to take on the secular left.
It's you have a great clarity of your message when people are you're talking to them. You know what you stand for. You know what you're going to do. And you're putting it all out there. And I think that's a really fun thing to watch. What are the dynamics in the primary for you? I mean, what's key to your ability to potentially seize the nomination and go up and get the seat back, or keep the seat in Republican hands next year?
Sure. So as I mentioned, we're running our campaign not through Republican Party groups, but instead we're running it through churches. And, you know, the coalition that we've built is this very powerful coalition of evangelical Christians, other Christians and Catholics around the state, and then a ton of just like Trump supporters around the state. And we're all part of the 75 million. I don't say they, I say we, because I'm one of them. I'm one of us. And they're backing my campaign with such velocity and force and power. It's just so inspiring. And listen, the reason that the bold, energetic, anti-establishment conservatives are backing me is because they see my opponents are a bunch of finger-in-the-wind type people. One of my opponents, you know, called Trump an idiot. I have another opponent who voted for Evan McMillan, third party, when Trump was running against Hillary. I've got one opponent who defended Anthony Gonzalez's vote for impeachment. I've got one opponent who called Trump a con man, compared him to Hitler. I mean, these are the people that are running in the Republican Party primary, not the Democrat Party primary. And so because all of them have said those wild things that are antithetical to the Constitution and to President Trump, we're in a big lead and we're going to keep it. And if anyone of your listeners wants to support our cause, it's very easy. Just go to joshmandel.com joshmandel.com, and they can support the cause and get involved.
That's pretty easy. And also, you've got a pretty active Twitter account. How do the folks follow you on social media?
Yeah, so on Twitter, it's Josh Mandel, Ohio. You know, we're on Facebook as well. Today, we're on Twitter and Facebook. Tomorrow, you never know, John. I've been suspended by
you have.
Both of them.
Yeah.
So I Facebook suspended me for calling them out when they deleted the page of the Nation of Islam cop killer.
Right.
And then when I called them to the carpet on it, they said, "Oops, it was a quote unquote enforcement error."
Right.
And that's what these big tech thugs do.
Yeah.
They target conservatives, silence conservatives, and it's happening to conservatives all over the country.
When you look out, what is it important for conservatives to develop their own social media platforms that are just as good as Facebook and Twitter, Instagram and YouTube going forward?
I do. Gab, Parler, yep. Telegram. I hope President Trump creates his own social media platform. I mean, listen, like, it used to be that the Democrat Party had three legs to their stool.
Right.
It was the abortionists who are right. murderers. It was the radical environmentalists who turned environmentalism into a religion. And it was the government unions, especially the teachers unions, who use our tax money to care about adults and not kids. I would submit to you today, John, that Democrat Party is a five-legged stool, because the Deadwood media, the mainstream media, they have become a department of the Democrat Party. And then these big tech companies, Silicon Valley thugs, they've become a department of the Democrat Party as well. And they're not even they don't try to hide it. They're loud and proud about it. And, CNN, the mainstream Deadwood media, Facebook, Twitter, or Google, they should be treated as if they are a department of the Democrat Party, because that is how they act. They don't try to hide it, and it's exactly what they are.
Yeah, very important. Lots of people I talked to today, Josh, say the exact same thing. They really see that now. And what's interesting, as that alliance grows between those five folks, many of the individual popularities, teacher unions' popularities are down. All unions' popularities are down. The media's popularity is way down. So as they stray from their original missions, protecting workers, informing the American public neutrally, the American public is so smart. They figured out that these institutions have abandoned their primary purpose or stated purpose, and the trust in those institutions go down. So it's a dynamic we're all going to have to watch. Josh, thanks so much for the time today. We wish you well on the campaign trail. Try to get you back on in the next few months and get an update on all the good things going on in Ohio.
That'd be great. And listen, on that last note about the media, that's why it's ever important that we have people like you doing what you did on the smoking out the hoax that was the Russia collusion investigation and others. That's when I became a big fan of yours and started following you, when you were smoking out all this garbage and
you.
Fraud coming from the media on Russia collusion.
It was
the whole
bad.
It was a big hoax. Yeah. But the mainstream media was not doing their job, because they were so subscribed and bought into Orange Man Bad that they refused to, as you said, do what their job was, to be an independent arbiter and call balls and strikes. But instead, they were just doing the job of the Democrat Party. And thank God we had President Trump fighting the hoax, and we had people like you who were actually exposing what the Democrat Party and the media were doing, which was a complete fraud.
It's an amazing thing, but facts turn out to be very stubborn. If you hold the facts, they usually will get you the truth. Simple
there
equation.
There you go.
All right, Josh. Well, best of luck to you, and let's get you back in the show soon.
All right. Take care, John.
Take care. All right, folks, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we've got the story of an extraordinary nurse, Erin Pine, from New Jersey, suspended from her job, soon to be fired from it, for raising questions about whether masks were necessary in classrooms. Going to get to that right after this. Hey, folks, as we approach another critical election, a wave of concern washes over America. Recent studies reveal that an astonishing 56% of our fellow citizens report feelings of anxiety or dread about the upcoming presidential election. That's why I stand with AMAC. AMAC is more than a senior discount organization. During these challenging times, they fight for common sense and hope that our nation returns to traditional American values. Visit amac.us/justnews today to seize an exclusive election year special, a 4-year AMAC membership for just $30. That's right. You heard me right. 4 years for $30. As an AMAC member, you're not only enjoying money-saving benefits, but also the AMAC magazine, free Social Security and Medicare advice, a trusted voice in Washington, and a community of like-minded patriots who love this great nation. Take advantage of this election year special. 4 years for $30, and be part of the solution over the next 4 years. By becoming an AMAC member, you're strengthening a movement dedicated to preserving the principles we hold dear in this great country. Join now at amac.us/justnews. That's amac.us/justnews. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And today we're taking you to school, to New Jersey, to a very courageous nurse named Erin Pine, who had the courage last week to stand up and say that making children, school children, wear masks was counterproductive. It didn't protect them, and it was harming their learning. And for her honesty, for her belief, she was removed from her job. And we are lucky enough to have Nurse Erin Pine with us. Erin, welcome to the show.
Hi, John. Thanks so much for having me.
It's a remarkable story, and one of free speech, one of medical and public health policy, and one of fairness. It's such an extraordinary thing. Let's start off, for those who don't know you, you are a nurse in the school district of Stafford Township in New Jersey, correct?
Correct. So I became a nurse in 2009 and went to school in William Patterson University.
Great.
And I've been working as a school nurse for the past 4 years, the last three full-time in Stafford Township.
Wow, fantastic. And always a fun thing. I still remember my grammar school nurse who was larger than life in our own school. And so we know what an important role you play in the school ecosystem. You're living through this. COVID's a big medical deal the last year. What was it like to be in a school system, to have children who had their own fears about COVID, right? Confused about what's going on. What was the before you decided to stand up, just what was the general experience that young school children were going through in this process?
School this year is so different than any other year for these kids, and it's a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, and they're coming into the schools, their desks are all separated, they're 6 feet apart, you know, when they walk in the hallways, they have to walk separated from each other, they can't go to recess and lunch with big groups, so they can only go in, you know, most of them are eating in their classroom, or they'll go out to recess, but only with their class, so they're not seeing the other kids in the school, really. Then they have common areas. So in order to make the room smaller, to make the class sizes smaller, they separate it. So sometimes they're in their classroom and other times they're in this common area, which is just the gym or the cafeteria, which has single desks spaced out every 6 feet. And it's just all day long, that's all they do in the common area when they're not in their classroom, is sit at their desk and, you know, go to the bathroom when needed. So it's not a normal, fun experience. It's really scary, and it's terrible.
Yeah, and then obviously young children are processing everything they might hear on the radio or on television. And, you know, this pandemic is scary to grisly old adults like me, so you can imagine what it is like for them. Beyond the fun, beyond the socialization, beyond the normalcy that has been lost for an entire generation of school children, there's a public health issue, which is the CDC has long said there's no danger to kids being in school and doing this. And you were worried that the masks that they were wearing were interfering not just with social, but more importantly, their learning, right? That was your big concern.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I've heard from multiple teachers all year long that these kids are preoccupied with their masks. They are touching them, playing with them, you know. It's not something that is helping them with their learning. It is actually hindering it, especially for children who are hearing impaired or have speech issues. You know, they can't see the lips, or, you know, that's difficult when they're reading lips and they didn't even know they were, stuff like that. Also, you know, children who are young, they learn how to become adults by reading facial cues. They know that their teacher is pleased with them when they smile at them,
or right,
their friend is upset when they have a sad face. And that's just a skill that you really learn when you're very young, because you are finally introduced to other children in school.
Right, you internalize
it. That's something that could potentially save your life later on down the road, when you can recognize, you know, body cues and body language.
So,
you know, besides that, just so much anxiety, like you had just said. I mean, these kids are coming in so fearful and so full of anxiety with stomach aches and crying and even to the point of vomiting because of their anxiety, which you normally don't see in young children, like preschool, kindergarten, first grade, you know.
Did you see a lot more compared to a normal year? Now, it's hard to remember normal year now because we've been so long in this pandemic, but were more kids sick at school coming to you, worried, anxiety that they might have COVID? What was the nurse's office itself like when you, in terms of the triage of patients and the flow of patients in the school?
Yeah, so many kids were coming in, yes, with anxiety and more often than not with stomach aches and headaches too, but I've had children as young as first grade come to me crying and saying, the masks make me nervous, and when I think about it really long, it hurts my stomach. And, you know, I had one girl come to me after vomiting in class, and she said, I'm not sick. Mommy knows this happens all the time. And I said, well, what do you mean this happens all the time? She said, I get really nervous, and I start thinking something bad's going to happen. She said, sometimes it goes away, but then if I overthink about it, that's when I throw up. You know, I mean, that's just, it's just heartbreaking, you know, that this is the situation that they're forced to be in. And it's even more heartbreaking because we know that they are not, you know, virtually almost unaffected by COVID-19, you know.
Right.
So they have survival rate.
It's 100% true.
Yeah. 99.997% survival rate for their age group.
Wow.
So, you know, and if they do get it, it's usually very mild. So not only is it extremely survivable and virtually not fatal at all, but they usually have mild symptoms like runny nose, you know.
Right,
so
right.
We're forcing all of these very damaging, you know, mandates on them, especially these masks that are just really damaging them also physically as well. And it's inappropriate and it's abuse.
So you watch this go on for a while. It's something at some point last week you decided you were going to put a video up on YouTube and express your concern. Now, before you had done that, had you ever raised these concerns with principals and teachers, your supervisors in the school system?
Yeah, actually what led me to doing that was the inaction that I had from my supervisors. So I sent an email to my immediate nursing supervisor. She's not a nurse, but she is in the role of nursing supervisor. And I made her aware of my concerns and the things that I had been seeing related to the mask. I did mention to her that I had a student come to me. He said he couldn't breathe in his mask and he had been wearing it for 2 weeks. It was tied around his neck. It was one of those handkerchief masks. And I said, what do you mean you've been wearing this for 2 weeks? And he said, it's tied too tight, so I can't take it off. So it was loose enough that he could pull it over his face, that it would go over his nose. But then the part that was tied was too tight around his neck. It literally had to be cut off of his neck with scissors. So I made her aware of that. I made her aware of other conditions and other things that I'd been seeing with just gross misuse and how dangerous it was. And she just responded to me that, well, this is a mandate and we're going to follow it anyway. You know, it includes wearing masks, which I then responded to her and I said, you know what? I don't feel comfortable as a nurse enforcing something that I'm seeing being harmful that I know has potential for further harm. And I'd like to speak to the superintendent about this. From that, she just ignored me, and I never got a response back.
Wow.
So after that, I decided, yeah, so that's when I decided to take a stand. I chose not to wear a mask at work, which got their attention. And then I also posted a 5-minute video on a Facebook parent group. And that video was of a nurse in the beginning of the pandemic, and she was just demonstrating how to safely use and reuse a face mask to prevent cross-contamination.
Wow.
So it was really just an educational video.
Right. Yeah. Mm. And the video starts to go viral, get some attention, and then you get some bad news from your school, right?
Right, yeah. So the school suspended me. They escorted me out of the building, and they suspended me without pay. And then just recently, I was informed that the board voted to not renew my contract for next year. So at the end of June, I will be, you know, terminated. I did find out yesterday that they plan to reinstate my pay, although I remain suspended. And then I also had a summer position with the district, and that has been, you know, obviously canceled as well. So I am currently, the union also has not been very helpful with me. They did put in a grievance, which may be the reason why they're reinstating my pay. But they did, the lawyer from the union advised the NJEA to not spend any funds for any further litigation in my case.
Yeah, really, really remarkable story. We keep saying we have free speech in America, but when you hear a story like your own, you wonder whether we really have free speech anymore. You weren't doing this to be malicious. You weren't doing this to be a provocative protester. You by your own account, you were doing this because you were worried about the safety of children and the long-term effects of masks. And of course, our own public health officials in Washington were all over the map on masks. They don't help. They do help. They don't help. They do help. Not mandatory. Should be mandatory. It seems as though this penalty doesn't seem to match the alleged offense. What is next for you? What do you do now? How do you fight this? What is your goal going forward?
Well, right now I am just going to keep promoting that, you know, these masks are harmful. And I think it's working a lot. I've gotten so much support from the community. We did have a protest at the board meeting this week on the 10th, and about 350 people came out on a Monday night and supported me and the unmasking of the kids. And that's really my goal here, is to wake people up, get people talking and saying, you know what, this is harming our kids and we need to push back. So I'm hoping to continue that. I'm not sure if I'm going to need to pursue legal action at this point. I'm hoping not, but I was threatened that my nursing license may be taken away.
Wow.
And I would like to pursue legal action, but like I said, I'm not getting much help with the union. So there is a fundraiser that was set up for that, just in case.
Where is that on GoFundMe?
You know, that's where I'm going right now. I've heard that that's not very good for sometimes conservatives on that platform. So it's called securedonors.com.
Okay.
And it's /NurseAaron+support.
Wow. All right, folks. So if you're interested in getting behind Aaron and making a statement about free speech, again, all you were trying to do was have a debate. You weren't instructing children not to wear their masks. You were trying to get the attention, and you went through the normal processes. That's what's amazing here. You tried to escalate within your own command structure, but you couldn't get to the people who made the call, correct?
That's right. You know, and John, I've witnessed, as the school nurse, I've witnessed these kids being harmed physically, emotionally, and developmentally because of these masks. And I put my job on the line to help and protect them. And it's time for every teacher who cares about kids, every doctor who took an oath, and every nurse who's a patient advocate to stand up and make a stand and start protecting these kids. That's what we really, really need to do.
Yeah, it's an important debate to have. And again, science is still uncertain about a lot of things. And it seems that a normal debate would be a good thing in America. But it doesn't seem that debate is allowed in many places of our country these days. It's certainly not in the school system. We see that with your case for sure. Aaron, thanks for joining us. And we want to stay on top of this. So we'll maybe have you back in a few weeks and see what if anything has changed, if you've made any progress, if there's going to be any litigation. We'd love to follow this so that our listeners and our readers at justthenews.com are kept up to speed.
Yeah, that would be great. I'd love to be back on your show. Thanks for having me today.
Our pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up for the day. You know what, folks? Stress may be why you can't lose weight. If you've got moderate to high stress like I do, a doctor-formulated weight loss supplement called Lean could be your solution. Chronic stress wreaks havoc on blood sugar, which can cause your body to store excess fat. Stress can also slow your metabolism, which fuels weight gain, and you know all about stress eating and sugar cravings, right? Now the good news. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to help maintain healthy blood sugar levels, help optimize metabolism, and keep your appetite under control. Now, if your life is a bit stressful like mine and you want to lose weight, add Lean to your healthy diet and exercise lifestyle. Now get 15% off and free shipping at takelean.com. That's takelean.com and enter the promo code JustNews15. That's the promo code JustNews15 at takelean.com. One more time, takelean.com. Statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, and it's not a substitute or alternative for care from a healthcare provider. All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. It is time to get in the weekend, time to throw away all the stress of work, get outside with your family, go to a sporting event, take a deep breath of fresh air without a mask on. All those things are possible this weekend. And you know what? You can also go to your grill and visit my friends, my good friends at KansasCitySteaks.com. Put in Just News in the checkout box, all one word, Just News, and you'll get incredible discounts, free shopping on some of the best barbecuing meat, some of the best grilling meat you'll ever have. They've got desserts. They've got side dishes. They're my favorite. I can't wait to go out and cook with the great folks at Kansas City Steaks. I'll be doing that again this weekend. You should too. All right. Well, let's get started. Let's spend no more time. Let's get on to the weekend. God bless you. God bless this amazing country of the United States of America, as he always has. Enjoy that weekend. We'll be back to you Monday with more news, more interviews, more investigative accountability reporting from justthenews.com and John Solomon Reports. Hey folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you gotta do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653, gold. Or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family. Folks, everyone knows the next medical crisis is just around the corner. Whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something much more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's what we learned from this last pandemic, right? That's where the Wellness Company comes in. You know the Wellness Company. We have their great doctors like Dr. Peter McCullough on all the time on our shows. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust. And the new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy. And most importantly, prepared. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. The medical emergency kit provides a guidebook to aid in the safe use of all of these life-saving medications, so you know what you're doing. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID and even the bioweapon like the plague, the Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics on hand to keep you and your family safe from whatever the globalists throw your way. Go to www.twchealth/justnews today in order. That's twc.health/justnews and use the promo code justnews to save 10%.